Everybody. Thank you very, very much for being here. We love having you here and are so grateful for your attendance this morning and this opportunity we have to worship God. You know what's going to be awesome? It is going to be great to be with God forever and ever and ever. As happy as we are to be here, we will be even happier to live with God in what the Bible calls His tabernacle and His holy hill. That's talking about heaven. Where God now is, where we, after this faithful life of ours, have the hope to go as well. And in Psalm 15, if you have your Bibles, let me invite your attention to Psalm 15. As we see buried deep in the Old Testament here, we see an Old Testament question that goes something like this: what must I do to be saved? That is the premier question that a man or woman could ever ask. What do I need to do to be all right with God? And for that question in this New Testament age, New Testament answers are required. But what we're able to do this morning is to glance back at Psalm 15 and see David working through that question. He asks in Psalm 15:1, "Who will abide in your tabernacle? Who will dwell in your holy hill?" I love the poetry expressed here, but understand that simply speaking, David is asking, who's going to go to heaven, God? Who is going to go to heaven? It's a question that needs to be top of our mind. More so than who's going to win the next election, what team is going to win the next game, what player is going to get the next championship or accolade or award? Who's going to go to heaven should be much more front of mind than it really is. And if you stick with David in Psalm 15, if you stick with David in Psalm 15 here, he answers this question, and it's that answer that we want to explore this morning. Who's going to go to heaven? David answers in Psalm 15, verse 2, "He who walks uprightly," are the key words that just kind of jump off the page to you as you read Psalm 15, 2. This idea of walking, it's not a hard concept to grasp, you know. This idea of walking, we're moving, we're making progress. This is something that continues. You know, you learn to walk and then you've got it. And we're walking, not directing our own steps, as Jeremiah will later caution us against doing, but we're walking uprightly. There's a way that God wants you to live your life. Do you know that? There's a way that God wants you to live. God is very exacting in the way He wants you to live. There are some hard lines in that plan that God has for your life. And we need to make sure that we walk in sync with the teachings of God's Word. Later on, in New Testament letters, the Apostle Paul in particular, he will caution Christians against being joined together with people who are walking out of sync with God. That is a big warning sign. If your life is walking in sync with the Lord, your fellowship with those who are out of sync with God is hazardous. So here in Psalm 15:2, David says, the one who's going to go to heaven is simply the one who's going to walk according to God's commandments. And we know this is easier said than done. We live in the same world all together. We know that most people are walking on that broad, wide road that leads to destruction. Jesus said a long, long time ago in Matthew 7, 13, and 14, most of the people are walking in the wrong direction. It's sad but true. Brings me no pleasure to report to you this morning that according to Jesus' words, most people are heading to destruction in the afterlife. I'm not happy about that one bit. But it is a scary truth that we need to face. because that informs our life's decisions. That lets us know kind of on the first hand, we need to choose our friends and our acquaintances much more wisely because we need encouragement in walking uprightly. And if we don't have this encouragement, we might find ourselves kind of how Peter found himself the night that he betrayed Jesus. The night that Peter betrayed Jesus, it began with a series of decisions. Where he's going to walk, where he's going to stand, where he's going to sit, with whom he's going to associate, how he's going to talk to them so that he could endear himself to them. The one who's going to go to heaven is one who will walk uprightly, live in accordance to the way God wants you to live. We know, you don't even have to say this, we know you're not going to be perfect. We know that already. But we need to be as close to our perfect Jesus as we can be. And when sin does enter into our life, we should pause for a moment and analyze how it got there. Did we invite sin right in? Did we run to the door and open it wide and invite sin into our life? Hopefully not. Did we leave the door unlocked so sin could help itself in? Again, hopefully not. Did we do so many of the right things and just through circumstance, happenstance, find ourselves in a situation that we did not resist? That is the more innocent of the scenarios that we're describing. We need to make sure that sin, when it does find itself into our life, is quickly repented of and taken care of. That's walking uprightly. That's walking uprightly. And working righteousness, David goes on to say in Psalm 15, verse 2. Working righteousness, again, carries the idea of actively doing the things that God wants us to do. Again, there's a way that God wants you to live. There are things that God wants you to do. There are things He wants you to avoid. And how we work all that out in our lives is what's on display to God, and it's what we will be judged by. Here's the Bible. Here's your blank slate life. By the way, you are a free moral agent. You can pick and choose what you're going to do, what you're not going to do. You have that ability to decide. And what will you decide to do with your life? Will you walk uprightly? Will you work righteousness? That's certainly God's hope for you and our hope for you as well. And those are key qualities of one who will go to heaven when this life is over. Who else is going to go to heaven? Or what's another trait of somebody who's going to go to heaven? One who speaks the truth in his heart. I love the profound difference those last few words make. In his heart. It's one thing to say the truth. It's another thing to really pour your heart and soul into it and truly believe what's coming out of your mouth. You come to church this morning, as you did, even with that hour less sleep we missed out on last night. Great job. Thank you so much for being here. I really do appreciate it. You come in with a smile, and that says, I'm happy to be here. You sit with a Bible or a songbook in your lap, and that says, I'm ready to participate. As we exit here, which we will do shortly, you shake hands with somebody and maybe say, it's nice to see you. You shake hands with me back there and say perhaps good sermon or something like that. These are all things that are being communicated, but what's going on in your mind as all of this is happening? What's the internal dialogue that you're having with yourself? What's that like? I'll never know what you're saying to yourself right now. I'll never know what's going on in your mind when when you come in and smile and take your seat and grab a Bible or a songbook. I'll never know, but you know right now. You know right now what you're saying about this worship service, about God, about our hope and desire to be faithful and loyal to Him. You know right now what you're saying about this. Are you speaking the truth in your heart? That is a sneaky two-part question there, isn't it? Speaking the truth out loud like I'm talking to you right now, that's one thing. Speaking the truth in your heart is something completely different. Have you ever heard someone say, "Oh, do as I say, not as I do"? Well, there's someone who's trying to get cute between his words and his actions. And it doesn't work that way with God. With God, we have to do the right things and say the right things, and our whole self has to be in support of this goodness that God wants. Every thought that we have has to back up the good things that God wants us to do. All systems have to be working together and approving of this action that we're doing. Because it's not okay to kind of mimic the right things while harboring a heart that hates every moment of it. I'll carry my Bible to church, I'll smile, I'll sit, but I won't like any of it. Can't wait to get out of here and go and run somebody down or talk bad about the elders or the preacher. Can't believe that sort of thing happens, but it does here and there. And the song leader too. Yeah, we'll talk about how happy we are to see somebody at church service, but in our heart, we'll negate every bit of that. Make sure that's not you. Make sure that's not you, because that's not a good person to be, number one. Make sure that's not you, number two, because God is looking for that person to live with Him forever in His tabernacle and His holy hill, one who speaks the truth in his heart, who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor. God is looking at what we do, and He's looking at everything that we do. And He's not okay with us just being slightly more good than we are bad. You know, that's the game that some people want to play, where it's okay as long as we are more good than we are bad. I do some things, I say some things, I lose my temper at times, but as long as I do more good than bad, well, the scale tips slightly in my favor. You know, the little arrow popular on the game shows, it'll kind of get way over here, and as long as I'm just in that heaven quadrant, you know, that arrow is moving back and forth based on my actions, and as long as I just barely am good enough to get in there, that's okay. God is not looking at us in those terms. God is certainly not expecting us to be perfect, but God's not okay with the often flippant attitude that we have towards sin and temptation in our life. God's not all right with that. God wants us to be not just our best self. You know, popular in 2019 here is this whole idea of being your best self and living your best life. And man, you're really living your best life here. God wants us to be the best representative of Christ we can be. God wants us to lose ourselves in trying to be so much like Jesus. God wants us to be lost in that never-ending quest of being like Jesus. And unless that's our life, we have room to improve. Paul in Colossians 3 talks about our life being hid in Christ. Who you are, who you used to be, is not who you are now. And that's especially true if you're a Christian this morning. Who you used to be is not who you are now. You remember some of the graphic language the Bible uses to describe our conversion to Christ. It's like being born again, Jesus told Nicodemus. And Paul in Romans 6 talks about a death to ourself. We are dead and buried and risen to walk in newness of life. A new life that seeks not our own will. Paul warns against that in Romans 15. Selfish ambition and having to have our way all the time. That's not the Christian life. Treating someone badly, throwing a hissy fit, pouting if we don't get our way, that's not the Christian life. We need to look at others and treat them as we would want to be treated. Not treat them like they treat you. That's not the golden rule. That's oftentimes kind of colloquially referred to as the gold-plated rule. You know, you treat the people the way they treat you. And so if they're mean to you, you be mean to them. If they don't talk to you, you don't talk to them. You know, just kind of tit-for-tat treatment. That's not the golden rule. Jesus says, Matthew 7:11, you treat people the way they should treat you. It's marvelous in its brilliance because everybody knows how they think they should be treated. Go on Facebook these days and you will read so many words by so many people who are perfectly clear about what their boss should have let them do, what their neighbor, what their HOA should let them do, what somebody else should let them do. Everybody's perfectly clear on how they think they should be treated by others. Well, Jesus says, okay, hotshot, you know how you should be treated by everybody else. Now you go and treat those other people that way. And God is watching. He does not want to see us backbiting or doing evil or taking up a reproach against friends, Psalm 15:3. God wants to see us lovingly fulfilling our charge to live for Jesus in this life. Paul says best in a verse that I know I mention a lot. You hear me talk about Galatians 2:20 a whole bunch. I'm crucified with Christ, Paul says. Nevertheless, I'm alive. That right there is just mind-blowing. Because no one survived crucifixion. The Romans made sure of it. And if you were living too long while being crucified on that cross, they would come and break your legs to speed up your death. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, but I'm alive? What? Doesn't work that way. Ever. But I'm not alive, Paul goes on to say. Wait a minute now. Now it's getting weird. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Paul says, I'm dead, but I'm alive, but I'm really not alive. Because the life that I'm now living, I'm living for Jesus Christ. It wasn't Paul who was alive. Sure, it looked like Paul who was alive. But Paul says, my life is brand new. With an entirely, hear me, an entirely different purpose. I've been a Christian for, I don't know, 23, 4 years or so. 25, somewhere in that neck of the woods. And it's a constant struggle. I'll use that word just to kind of get it out there and convey the idea. It's a constant test to look and see, am I the same person I was before I was baptized? The answer to that question has to be no. That was Nicodemus's stick. That was Nicodemus's thought. Nicodemus was, well, we say about Nicodemus, either he was pretending to be ignorant or he wasn't pretending. He was just being ignorant. That was Nicodemus's hang up with what Jesus said. Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? I can't be physically born again. Of course, he was right. But also, of course, Jesus wasn't talking about being physically born again. Come on, Nicodemus should have known better. And Jesus even points that out to him in John chapter 3. You're a teacher of the Jews. You should know better. You should have some idea about what Jesus is truly talking to him about. We need to make sure that our lives have changed for the better and that we are more like Jesus than we've ever been. If that's not your Christian life, take this as a wake-up call to get there, because it's where the Lord wants us to be. Someone who walks uprightly, Psalm 15:2, and works righteousness, same verse, and speaks the truth in his heart. Here's a test for you. Psalm 15:4, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. Who do you idolize? Who do you idolize? Who is there a show, is there a movie, is there a sporting event that when it comes on, you tell, shh, everybody be quiet, I want to watch this. Who is that person in your life? What is that thing in your life? Is it a song? Is it a movie? Is it a sporting event? Is it the Lord? I know it's not the Lord. Not for a lot of people. But shouldn't it be the Lord? In whose eyes a vile person is despised. We tell our kids, hey, you know, you should, it would be great for you to grow up and be a famous musician or a famous actor or a famous athlete. And we unwittingly, I hope, are idolizing those whose lives are almost certainly not right with the Lord. I'm no one's judge, but I know that Hollywood and professional athletics and that sort of public life is not known for its godliness. And I worry when we tell our children, man, you want to grow up and be a famous whatever. How about saying, hey, you want to grow up and be a godly elder? Let me tell you something. The church needs elders pronto. You want to grow up and be a faithful preacher. You want to grow up and be a helpful elder's wife or preacher's wife. There are some men who will never be elders or preachers because of their spouse. And it's sad. It's very sad. We need to make sure that we appropriately honor the things that we should and look at this life in a big picture view. Our favorite actor is not going to last forever. Our favorite game or sport is not going to last forever. Do we put disproportionate weight on that and its importance in our lives? We should not. One who is going to live with God forever is one who is happy to have God as a main part of his life now. who honors those that fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and doesn't change. He values his word, doesn't put his money to usury, but is fair and equitable, doesn't take a bribe against the innocent. I so appreciate what Jeremy said earlier as we were giving of our means. Sometimes the spiritual things are the physical things. Sometimes what I should be doing for God means there are some physical changes I need to make in my life. I mentioned to you in a sermon last week that's the core concept of repentance, changing. And that I'm going to try to use that word change a little bit more as we talk about this idea of repenting, hearing, believing, changing, confessing, and being baptized. What I've just mentioned to you is God's plan of salvation. Now, you don't find it here in Psalm 15 as you would not expect to find it here in Psalm 15, because Psalm 15 is an Old Testament conceptual check-in of who is going to be with God forever. Written for our learning, but we understand that in the New Testament, God commands repentance, confession, and baptism in order for us to be saved. This morning, if you need to be baptized, we would love to help you today. If you are a member of the Lord's church in need of prayer, repenting of sins, or just asking for prayers because you don't want to sin, asking for prayers because you need a little extra support or encouragement, we want to be here for you. We want to be here for you now so that we can all be together in heaven when this life is over. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we stand and sing, won't you please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.